This is Pure Evil, the sentencing of Aiden Fucci. Immerse yourself in the gripping courtroom audio as justice unfolds in the chilling case of Tristan Bailey's murder. Witness the raw emotion, the powerful testimonies, and the unfiltered truth of Pure Evil, the sentencing of Aiden Fucci.
In the tranquil, sun-soaked streets of St. Johns County, Florida, an unsuspecting community was about to be confronted with a chilling reminder that evil can lurk in the shadows of even the most picturesque of neighborhoods. I'm Tony Bruschi. I'm going to give you the story of what happened with Aiden Fucci and why many of us believe he is pure evil. Once the story is told, we'll begin hearing courtroom audio from his sentencing after pleading guilty. Aiden Fucci was a young man born in 2004. He was a student at Patriot Oaks Academy. He shared the halls with his classmate, 13-year-old Tristan Bailey, a bright and vibrant girl with her whole life ahead of her. The two were merely acquaintances, but soon their paths would intersect in the most horrifying way imaginable. On May 9th of 2021, Tristan Bailey went missing, her absence casting an ominous pall over the community. Hours later, a grisly discovery was made. Tristan's lifeless body discarded in the nearby wooded area. The extent of her injuries was truly shocking. She'd been stabbed a staggering 114 times. Her young life stolen with brutal and unimaginable ferocity. In the investigation, as it unfolded, all evidence pointed to one person, Aiden Fucci. Far from displaying the expected remorse or even fear of a teenager caught in a web of suspicion, Aiden seemed almost indifferent to the gravity of his situation. His icy demeanor and callous attitude would come to light through a series of chilling social media posts. In one particularly disturbing post, Aiden posted in the back of a patrol car, flashing a peace sign with a sinister smirk on his face. The caption read, "Hey guys, anybody seen Tristan lately?" It was cold, mocking. It was a display that sent shivers down the spines of all who saw it. Aiden was arrested and charged with second-degree murder, but the sheer brutality of the crime led to an upgrade in charges of first-degree premeditated murder. As the trial loomed, the community was left to grapple with the horrifying reality of the evil that had emerged from within its own ranks. The story of Aiden Fucci and Tristan Bailey is a chilling reminder of the depths of human depravity, the darkness that can reside beneath the most innocent exteriors. In the end, the streets of St. Johns County, Florida, would bear the incredible stain of an unimaginable tragedy, and the lives of two families would be forever shattered by a young man's unthinkable cruelty. That's the story of Aiden Fucci. We now take you to the courtroom for segment one of his sentencing.
Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and go on the record. We're here on case 21-825, State of Florida versus Aiden Fucci. Who do I have appearing on behalf of the State of Florida? On behalf of the defendant?
Craig.
And also present. You can all be seated. Thank you. All right, we are here to begin our sentencing hearing. We had previously discussed we will begin the testimony today, continue it into we would then recess until Friday, where the court would announce sentence on Friday a.m. First, let's address matters. We did have both sides received a copy of the pre-sentence investigation as well as the sentencing summary form from the Department of Juvenile Justice.
Yes, Your
Honor. Yes, Your Honor. All right. Objections are excused. Let's start with the pre-sentence investigation from the state.
No, Your Honor.
From the defense.
Your Honor, I mean, we were going to address any objections this morning. I understand the court's asking now if we could just start this afternoon.
Okay. Have you had a chance?
Yes, Your Honor, but there are several other things back to it. And specifically, if we can address it this afternoon, if the court wants to address it today.
Well, I just want, before we get started, I just want to know if there's anything about this document that's objectionable, but I guess we can address it this afternoon if you need some time to further. How about the Department of Justice report?
Same.
All right. Okay, any other matters we need to address this morning before we get started from the state?
No, Your Honor.
And before we get started?
Before we recess today. Before we recess for lunch, yes.
Before we recess for lunch?
Yes.
So anything we need to address right now?
No.
All right. Okay. Do we have witnesses that are ready?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. State, you may call your first witness.
State calls Deputy Robert Maloney.
All right. Robert Maloney. If you'll pause right here in front of the clerk and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and not to help you, God?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. If you'll come on up here and have a seat in the witness stand.
Thank you. Good morning, Deputy. If you would, please introduce yourself to the court.
Detective Maloney, St. John's County.
How long have you been employed with the St. John's County Sheriff's Office?
Almost 2.5 years.
And what was your prior law enforcement experience?
I'm a retired sergeant from the NYPD, and I also worked in the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office as an investigator.
How many total years of law enforcement do you have?
20.
Okay. What were you doing with the agency back in May of 2021? What was your role?
Patrol in the Northwest Sector.
Did that particular area a Durban Crossing neighborhood? I want to direct your attention to May 9th, 2021. Were you working that particular day?
Yes, ma'am.
And what day of the week was that?
It was Mother's Day.
Did you get dispatched to a call referencing a missing juvenile that morning?
Yes, ma'am.
And do you remember what time?
May I refer to you, ma'am? Approximately 10:06 in the morning.
And where did you respond?
231 Cloister Bean Drive.
Who was the complainant or person that called 911 that you met with?
Tristan's mother, I believe her name was.
Okay. What did you learn after speaking to AC Bailey? What did you need to do?
When they woke up in the morning, to her room, she stated she believed she left sometime. They haven't seen her, weren't able to get in contact, and none of her friends have heard from her.
What did you appear to do upon hearing that information?
Well, I checked inside the residence. With any runaway, you always do that. Bedrooms, closets, checked the perimeter of the residence. She was nowhere to be found. So we learned some different names of individuals, friends, or whatnot that she could be. So I started following up on those leads.
Okay. Did you or the family want to contact her by phone?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you learn anything? What was happening when you would reach out by phone?
It was going direct mail. It wasn't even ringing.
Okay. And where was the first residence to check on her whereabouts?
May I refer to my notes, Your Honor? Thank you. First residence I arrived at was 145 Telford Drive.
And who was supposedly at that residence you wanted to check with?
His name is Dafius Absher, but his nickname is Trey.
And do you recall what time you arrived at the Absher home?
11:07 a.m.
Okay. That first time in stopping at the Absher home, did you gain any useful information?
No.
Okay. What did you do after that initial stop, and then where'd you go from there?
Just followed up on some other leads.
Okay. Did you eventually go back to 145 Telfer and speak with Trey again?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and did you learn anything there that caused you to continue on a lead?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did you learn there?
Tristan, that resident, very early morning hours with Aiden Fucci, and that they eventually left there approximately 1 in the morning.
And what did you do in response to that information?
From there, I went to, I went to Aiden Fucci's residence.
And what address was that?
724 Castledale Court.
And do you know approximately when you arrived at Aiden Fucci's residence?
11:40 a.m.
Your Honor, may I
May I approach?
You may.
Do you have any? No. Okay. Your Honor, actually, without objection, 6A, C, and D.
Any objection?
No objection.
You received State's Exhibits 1 and 2.
And permission to publish as necessary,
you
Your Honor?
You may.
All right, Deputy Maloney, and can you just describe to the court, there's some things marked on here. Do you see the Absher home and ultimately the food in that map?
May I stand, Your Honor? I can't
see.
Thank
you.
Thank you,
ma'am.
Oh, thank you, sir. Okay. At the bottom of the screen, there's a yellow pen that marks the Absher residence. There's one also marking the Bailey residence, and there's one marking the residence.
Okay. So, do you recall approximately between the Absher home and the Fucci home in that neighborhood?
Maybe a mile and a half.
Okay. When you go to the Fucci residence the first time, approximately 11:40 a.m., when you arrived, and who did you interact with?
The garage door was open. As I approached the garage door, Aiden was standing directly in front of me. He was in the garage with his mother and stepfather.
Did you speak with them, tell them why you were there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and what did you tell them, and what information did you receive that time from Mr. Fucci?
Well, I explained to him that we were investigating where Tristan was. She hasn't, wasn't home. I told him that I found out that he was at Daphius Absher Trey's residence. I asked him, where did you guys go? What happened? He stated they left about 1 a.m. from Daphius' residence. He stated that Tristan was in Cloisterbane as they passed it walking on North Durban Parkway. And then he said he went right home.
And Cloisterbane would have been the street where her residence was, correct?
Yeah, yes, ma'am. Just south of North Durban.
Okay. And did he indicate what time he got home that night, or did you ask that question?
Approximately 3:30 a.m.
And when he told you that he didn't get home till 3 or 3:30, did you ask him that?
Yes, ma'am. I told him his timeline doesn't match up, so it wouldn't take you roughly 2 hours from that distance. And stated, this isn't verbatim, I don't remember verbatim, Your Honor. Stated that he walked by himself alone for a while.
Initial encounter in the garage with Aiden and his mother and stepfather, what did you do?
I went and followed up on another lead, ma'am.
Okay. And did you eventually come back to the residence?
Yes.
And do you know the timing of the second time you were at that residence?
Yes, ma'am. 12:20 in the afternoon.
Okay. What did you do this time?
Well, this time I knocked on the front door of the residence. I believe the garage door was closed. I asked if I could speak to Aiden again, because he was the last one that we know that was with her. So we ended up sitting on the front porch of the residence and just talking. Thought maybe, he texted her and she contacted him. Maybe he thought of something else that could help find out where she was.
And when you say we, who was on the front porch at that time?
Myself, Aiden Fucci, his stepfather, and I think his uncle or some other relative was out there.
Okay. And did his mom come out as well? It's
possibly. I don't remember, ma'am.
Okay. When you talked to him on the porch, what information did you learn, if anything, new or different at that time?
Nothing different.
Okay. And as you're talking to him, do you ask him to do something for you?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did you ask?
I asked if he'd be willing to take a ride in my patrol car with me to drive along the path that he stated he walked with Tristan. This way I could look for traffic cameras, cameras on houses, anything that would help. Possibly, we can view a camera and say, oh, this car picked her up or whatnot.
And did he agree to do that?
Yes, ma'am.
And did his stepfather or a parent know that that was happening and agree with that?
Yes, ma'am. I asked his stepfather if that would be okay. He said yes, and he also stated, can I follow in my golf cart? I said, that's no problem at all.
Okay. And did the stepfather, in fact, do that?
Yes.
And so now you have Aiden Fucci in your car, and you're taking him on this path.
We got out and walked over to where the sidewalk is. The sidewalk and some bushes, and I asked him to demonstrate what happened.
And did he do that?
Yes, ma'am.
And was his stepfather in the vicinity and other members of his family, I believe, arrived about that time?
Yes.
Okay. And what does he say he did after he pushed her down?
He said he walked off northbound on North Durbin.
Okay. Towards his, which would have been toward his residence, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And so what happened next? Where did you take him?
Next, I brought him back over to my patrol vehicle. At this time, I took all his belongings away, and I placed him uncuffed into the rear of my patrol vehicle because now I felt it's in custody. He's not allowed to leave.
Okay. And did you kind of advise your supervisor what he had said and the change in that story at that point?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Okay. And so where did you go with him at that point? What happens?
I brought him to the parking lot of the North Durbin Amenities Center. That's where a lot of the sheriff's office was staging in regards to trying to find her.
Okay. And do you sit with him in your car for a period of time?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember approximately how long you stayed there with him that day?
I was with him from, well, when I picked him up originally, but at the amenities center, I arrived at 2:12 in the afternoon. I don't remember the exact time custody of him was transferred over to someone else to bring him down to CID. That was in the evening.
In the evening. Okay. And did anything occur with him in the vehicle with you?
Yes. At one point, I'm typing my notes, my report, and I felt the back of the seat get kicked. And I turned to what was going on. Aiden was crying. And he said, can I refer to my notes again, Your Honor? Thank you, sir. And he stated, I'm going to get arrested. Pardon my cursing. I'm going to get arrested for bullshit. I didn't ask him any questions. I just stated, if you didn't do anything wrong, you have nothing.
Okay. And so you stated at some point later that evening he was transported to the sheriff's office here, Criminal Investigations Bureau?
Yes, ma'am.
Another deputy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. During your interactions with Aiden Fucci that day, did he have any problems understanding your questions and communicating with you?
No.
Did you have any concerns he was under the influence and that you shouldn't be asking him any questions?
No.
Did you have any more involvement after you turned over custody to him and went home that day?
No.
Right. No further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Cross-examination.
Leave this or take it?
You can leave it. I'll just stay right
there. All
right. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Just briefly, you testified initially that when you first went to Dofus Abster's house, you didn't get any useful information?
Correct.
And is that because you learned later that Mr. Abster was not being forthright?
Correct.
When you went back and you met with Aiden in the garage, did he appear nervous and fidgety to you?
Aiden?
Yes. The second time you went
back? Oh, the second?
Yes.
The second time? The second time wasn't in the garage. The second time was on his front porch. The first time contact with Aiden was in his garage.
At that point?
At that point, no.
Okay. Would you say he was nervous and fidgety on the front porch in answering your questions?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Sorry, I guess I have to ask you to move that, sir. I was not on this case when you did a deposition, but do you remember doing a deposition in the case?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And at that deposition, Mr. Mosley from our office was asking questions.
Okay.
Okay. And of course, you remember in the deposition, you swear to tell the truth and
yes, answer
all the questions appropriately. So I'm going to ask you to review a deposition for the state. I'm just looking at page 8. This is line 15. Do you have your deposition in front of you?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
what
great.
Page?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, page 8. And then
Line 15 is what I'm looking at, and basically, if you could just review 15 through 22.
Question, was this initial contact that you're making with Aiden, did you record this?
No, sir.
What was his demeanor like, nervous? What made you seem nervous to you? He kept fidgeting, kept looking around, kept putting his hands in and out of his pockets.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just asking if, that was my question, did he appear nervous or fidgety to you?
Well, during the deposition, it was a lot sooner after the encounter than it is today.
Oh, are you saying your memory is a little different?
Just for the nervousness.
Fair enough. Okay. Those are all my questions, Judge. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anything else from the state?
No, Your Honor.
May this witness be excused?
Yes.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. You're free to go.
Thanks, sir. Thank you, everybody.
State, you may call your next witness. Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right, you can come on up here and have a seat in the witness stand.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you please state your name for the record?
My name is Marilyn Butts, MarilynButts.
Thank you, ma'am. How are you employed, ma'am?
I'm a crime scene technician for the St. John's County Sheriff's Office Forensics Unit.
And how long have you been employed in that capacity with St. John's?
7 years.
And do you have any prior experience in the field?
I do. I was a crime scene technician for Louisville Metro Police Department in Louisville, Kentucky for 9 years and employed with the PD since 2002 prior to that.
Okay. Were you working with the St. John's County Sheriff's Office as a crime scene technician in May of 2021?
I was.
And specifically on May the 9th of that year, did you become involved in an investigation and what started out to be the disappearance of a girl by the name of Tristan Bailey, but was later learned to be a homicide?
Yes.
At what point in that investigation did you become involved?
Approximately 4:58 p.m. on May 9th, I was notified by my supervisor, Jennifer Ferraro, that I needed to respond to 750 North Durbin Parkway.
At that particular point in time, did you sort of have an idea of what your role might be right then?
I had a general idea. I became more aware once I arrived on scene.
And what happened when you arrived on scene?
Upon arriving on scene, my captain, Ryan Smith, called me on the telephone and immediately requested me to respond to 601 Saddlestone Way, Saddlestone Drive, excuse me.
Okay. And you said, and what time was that? 609, did you say?
It was 4:58 hours, and it was 6:09 p.m. when I arrived on scene at the Amenity Center.
Okay. And that's when you spoke with Captain Smith, and he asked you to respond to Saddlestone.
Correct.
Did you actually respond?
I did. Myself and Supervisor Ferraro, we were riding together, and we both responded there.
And what was located at 601 Saddlestone Road?
Upon arrival about 6:15 p.m., Captain Smith advised that a deceased female had been located in a wooded area southeast of 601 Saddlestone Drive.
Okay. And this particular area, was this a residential area, commercial area? What?
It was a residential area, and it was the end of a cul-de-sac.
So when you get there and he and Captain Smith gave you sort of that information, what did you do?
I was briefed on the scene. I had been advised that Tristan had been found in a wooded area past there, and I was shown the path in which I believe Deputy Neubauer had taken to get to where she was. I documented the scene with photography. Moved into the pathway and over two fences and down the side of the retention pond to get to where she was located.
Okay. And you indicated that throughout this process, when you get on scene, you're kind of told basically what was found, where she was located. From that point forward, you're documenting this particular area, and you continued that through processing the scene where Tristan Bailey was found. May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
You may.
And then showing you what's been marked for identification purposes, states Exhibit A. You can take a look at that down here right now. What do you recognize them to be?
Those are my scene photos.
Are they fair and accurate photographs as the scene appeared to you on May the 9th of 2021?
They are.
And, this time, Your Honor, I offer State Exhibit A into evidence.
Any objection?
No objection.
That will be received as State Exhibit. Is that
going to be 3 as a composite?
And publish State 3.
Amen.
By the time I'm showing you states 3A here, can you select some kind of placard here? Can you kind of just describe what we see in this photograph here? And what the
it's my
of this
photo
is?
Placard for the beginning of my photographs with the date, the case number, my name and ID number, and the location in which I photographed.
Right. Moving to states 3B. Obviously, this is an aerial, correct?
Correct.
And can you kind of give an idea of kind of, we talked about the location that you responded to, 601 Saddlestone. Where is that located on this aerial map?
It is the far right end of the cul-de-sac, the house on the south end.
Okay. And there's a notation there with a kind of a blue mark. Can you describe what that is?
That's the approximate location where Tristan was found.
All right, moving here to states 3C, what is this in this photograph?
This is the east side of the cul-de-sac and the beginning of my photographs of where I made entry into the pathway to go across the fences.
Okay. I'm going to go back to 3B. And can you kind of describe, using this aerial map, and there's a screen right beside you that may be helpful to do this. Can you kind of describe where did you go when you got there, and after Captain Smith basically told you what was found?
Okay. I parked at the end of the cul-de-sac. I briefed with the deputies and command on scene. I then met with Detective Ramos, who had a drone that he deployed over the area. And once he saw a clearing and it appeared to be a body there, he showed me a visual so I knew where I was, approximately where I was going.
Okay. Can you take the aerial map and show sort of where you went?
Excuse me.
Can I have the witness stand down here?
Sure, ma'am. I can see it.
So I parked it right in this area here. The drone operator went down this way, down south of the, on this grassy area, and he deployed in this general area. There was a clearing in the trees where he was able to show me on his screen a visual of where it appeared that a body was located. After that, I entered this area right here. There's two fences. I climbed over those and walked down this side of the retention pond to this location where there was another fence, and that's where I met Deputy Duff Neibauer, and he indicated where she was on the south side of that fence.
States 3D, just kind of walk us through these and tell us what we're looking at in these photos.
I placed two flags at the entry of the path for photography purposes to show where I made entry into the scene.
Okay. And then 3E here is just more of that same path?
Correct.
Right. And 3F is just closer to that fence. Is that right?
Yes.
Right. And then 3G kind of shows the proximity of the retention pond?
Yes.
3H is the retention pond. Is that right?
Yes.
And then 3I, is this the path that you walk down toward Deputy Niegebauer?
That is correct.
Right. And 3J?
He is standing just north of the fence line where we made entry into the area where she was found.
Right. And then 3K, what are we looking at here?
That's the fence that I went through to get to the actual scene.
Right. 3L?
Just another view of the same.
Okay. At this point, were you able to see the body of Tristan Bailey?
Barely.
3M?
That's coming through the fence and maybe 15 feet south of the fence and looking back to the west where there was a clearing where she was located.
And is this exactly how she was found?
Yes.
Right. And then going here to 3N?
Just another view.
Right. And when you got to this location, were you able to see injuries that she may have suffered?
I did.
Then 3O, what do we see in this photograph?
Just a closer up view of her body.
Are you able to see some of the injuries that you
Yes.
observed, and where were those located?
She had injuries on her arms and on her head and on her back.
3P?
Just another view of her arms.
3Q?
This is a west-east view of where she was positioned.
Does this photograph also show any items that you were able to locate in the vicinity of her body?
Yes, I have photo marker number 2. Which is the yellow placard in the photograph that has a $20 bill, a vape pen, a ring, and a cell phone.
Right. And is that what we see here in states 3R?
Yes.
And 3S?
That's all the items separated out.
Okay. The $20 bill, the cell phone, the ring, and the vape pen?
Correct.
Ms. Butts, how long did it take you to process the scene there?
I was on scene at approximately 6:15 p.m. and at approximately 8:26 p.m. the medical examiner investigators arrived on scene to do their investigation, and then St. Johns County Fire Rescue assisted us with the transport to St. Johns Family Funeral Home that was on standby at the back parking lot of the nursery that was actually addressed where we were.
And they assisted in removing Tristan's
Yes.
body from the scene. And approximately what time was it that you sort of finished up there at the scene?
I finished up at 10:52 p.m.
And what were you asked to do next?
I was asked to respond to 724 Castledale Court few minutes after midnight.
Okay. So not long after you finished at the
scene. Correct.
What was your understanding of who lived at 724 Castledale Court?
I was told that was Aiden Fucci's residence.
And did you respond as requested?
I did.
And approximately what time was it when you arrived there on scene at that house?
It was a little after midnight.
Okay. Can you kind of describe the residence as it first appeared to you when you got there?
It was a two-story dwelling with a three-car garage facing southeast. The downstairs consisted of a front entry dining room area. There was an empty room inside the door, a kitchen, a pantry, laundry room, master suite, and another bedroom and bathroom downstairs.
When you arrived on scene, was the scene secured?
It was.
And how so?
There was crime scene tape around the scene, and there was a deputy on scene for security.
What was your understanding of what your role was going to be as it related to this particular house?
I was told that we were executing a search warrant.
All right. And had a search warrant already been received, or did you have to wait for one to arrive?
I believe we had to wait a little bit, but we didn't make entry until we were told it was ready.
Okay. So once the search warrant got there, what did you do?
At that point, I photographed the scene and documented the scene, and then a search was performed.
All right. And did you take photographs throughout the search of 724 Castledale Court?
I did.
You may.
All right. What was previously received, previously marked as State's Exhibit D, was it D or B? B will be received into evidence as composite exhibit, State's Exhibit 4, over objection.
May I? It's 4, Your Honor.
You may.
So I'm going to go to States 4A. Again, we see another placard here. Can you just describe what this is?
That's my photo placard for the search warrant for May 10th, 2021, with the case number, my name and ID number, and the location, the address of the search warrant.
All right. And moving here to 4B, this is just a front photograph of the home at 724 Castledale?
Yes.
Now, what I want to ask you here is, you didn't kind of gave a brief description of what some of the interior of the house looked like, and we're going to see some photographs here. Was there a particular room in this particular house where evidence was found? And if so, where was that bedroom located?
Yes, the upstairs portion of the residence contained a bonus room, 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and a common area that was at the top of the steps. And we concentrated most of the part in the northwest bedroom upstairs.
And that would have been the bedroom of Aiden Fucci?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so going here to States 4C, what area of the home is this?
That's the front entry.
And you can see stairs here leading up to the second floor, is that correct?
Correct.
Right. And then States 4D. What area of the home is this?
That's the upstairs, like, common area, and the door with the stickers on it is the northwest bedroom.
Right. Aiden Fucci's bedroom?
Yes.
Right. And then 4E is just a close-up of that same door, correct?
Correct.
Right. Go to 4F. What do we see here?
It's a photograph with the door open.
Right. And the next series of photographs, kind of what are you doing in those?
I'm doing overall photographs of the bedroom.
Right. Here, 4G.
The desk area.
4H.
Just from the door to the corner showing the bed.
4I.
And then straight down the other wall.
So you basically just kind of pan the room, is
yes.
that correct? And then 4J, what do we see here?
That's just an overall from the opposite corner showing the closet.
Right. And was that closet searched?
Yes.
Let me back up a little bit. Were you doing this by yourself? Do you have help with
No,
you?
I had Sergeant David Garnes and Detectives James Giminaro, Jesse Howell, John Newman, and Kermit Kidder.
And sort of what was everybody's roles in the search of the home?
I've documented the house with photography, and as they were finding items of relevance, they would call my name, and I would come and do an overall mid-range and close-up of the item located.
And some of these detectives that you mentioned that were assisting you, were they also assisting you in helping search this particular bedroom that belonged to Aiden Fucci?
Yes.
All right. And was your attention brought to some items that were located inside the closet?
It was.
All right. And in here in 4K, what do we see here once the closet is open?
A dresser that was inside of the closet.
Right. Going here to 4L, what do we see here?
The middle drawers of the dresser inside the closet, specifically the left drawer that has photo marker number 2.
Mm-hmm. And what was located in that drawer?
That was a black Buck brand sheath that was empty inside of that drawer.
All right. And then for 4Ms, it's just a close-up of that sheath that was found?
Yes.
And was that collected and placed in evidence?
It was.
Going to 4N, what is this?
That's another photograph of the dresser where the items on the right side of the dresser between the dresser and the wall were removed.
Right, and then 4-0.
Photo marker number 3, where items of evidence were located at the bottom.
And what of particular interest was located in this area?
It was one pair of white Nike brand high top athletic shoes with possible blood. And
all right, I'm going to go to 4E.
Okay.
Are those the shoes that you referred to?
Yes.
And were they removed from that location?
Yes.
All right, and then going to states 4Q and R, what are
those? Are
sorry,
just overalls of the shoes.
And you indicated that there was substance found on these shoes?
Yes.
And what did it appear to be?
Possible blood.
And were those, and you said the shoes were wet?
Yes.
And were those shoes collected and placed in evidence?
They were.
And then were they sent, later sent to FDLE for analysis?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Photograph 4S, what do we see in this photograph?
That is a white t-shirt that was located underneath the dresser when the dresser was removed from the closet.
And that was brought to your attention and you took photographs of it?
Yes.
Was there anything unusual about this white t-shirt that was found behind that dresser?
It had possible blood on it also.
And is that seen in this photograph?
Yes.
Right, and then photograph 4T.
Just a close-up of the bottom portion of the t-shirt.
And was this shirt also sent to FDLE for analysis?
Yes.
Move to 4U. What do we see in this photograph?
It's a pair of blue jeans.
And where were those blue jeans found?
Those were in a laundry basket in that room.
Right. And was there anything unusual about these particular pair of blue jeans?
They appeared damp. And then when I got them back to the office, you could see possible blood.
Right. They were collected and placed in evidence?
Yes.
And were they sent to FDLE for analysis?
Yes.
Right. Moving here to 4V. What do we see generally in this photograph?
This is an overall view of the desk that was in the room.
Was there anything of particular interest found on this desk?
There were some drawings that were located on the desk that were photographed.
All right. Moving here to 4W, do we see any of the drawings in this photograph?
At the top of the photograph underneath the water bottle is one of the drawings.
Right. Were any photographs found in any of the composition books that were located on notebooks that were found on that desk?
The black book in the left bottom left corner underneath the water jug had a photo, a drawing also that was photographed.
And going here, states 4X, which of those, was this one of the notebooks or the?
Yes.
Right. And that this is what it found in the notebook under the water jug?
Yes.
Going to states 4Y. What is this and where was it found?
That was another drawing and I don't recall where that one was found.
But it was in the vicinity of the desk?
Yes.
And states 4Z. What is this and where was it found?
That is the drawing that was underneath the water bottle that was at the top of the first photograph.
Again, all these items were found in Aiden Fuji's bedroom?
Correct.
Did you also attend the autopsy of Tristan Bailey?
I did.
And did you, what was your general role during the performance of the autopsy?
I photographed the autopsy and also collected evidence.
Did you, as a part of that process, did you collect DNA standards from Tristan Bailey?
I did.
Okay, and that would have been like a buccal swabs, things that in a blood standard that could
yes.
identify her DNA. One moment, Your Honor. Okay. Was there anything found within Tristan's body that you collected in evidence that was later sent to FDLE?
Yes. I was advised that Dr. Bulick had located a possible metal fragment in her scalp.
Okay. And did you obtain that from the medical examiner's office and send that to FDLE for analysis?
I did.
Thank you, Your Honor. Nothing further.
Good morning. And I'm just going to start at the beginning where the state started, which takes us back to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was no evidence that that body had been moved, dragged to the location where it was found.
Is that true? I did not see anything.
Okay. And the pictures that you took are how you first observed the body?
Correct.
So it wasn't covered in the palmettos that were available, wasn't covered in anything?
No, it was exactly how it, okay. When I arrived on scene.
Not buried, not covered in dirt, just like we saw in the picture?
Yes.
The items in the composite of photos was letter S, and it was the items that were found next to her or in her vicinity, the vape pen, the money.
Yes.
The picture that we saw, that's you putting them together. That's not where they were found on the scene?
No, that's exactly where they were found on the scene.
I understand.
The photograph where they were separated out, I did.
That's what my question is. Okay. So the pictures, letters X, Y, and Z that you recovered from his bedroom, I just want to kind of skip ahead to that. Those three pictures that the last three pictures we showed.
The drawings?
Yes.
Okay.
Some of those were on the table, some of them were inside of a journal?
All of them were on the desk, whether they were one was in a journal, I do believe, mm-hmm. That was shown when it was on the back portion of the journal,
mm-hmm.
And the others were on the desk.
Were there other pictures in that journal besides that one?
No, I would have photographed anything that was in there.
Okay. The white t-shirt that was found under the dresser.
Yes.
That t-shirt wasn't wet, was it?
It didn't appear to be wet, no.
Okay. And you don't know when that t-shirt was put under that dresser?
No.
And while you testified there was possibly blood on it, it wasn't... Was it ever returned from FDLE with the presence of blood on it?
I believe...
Was it tested for blood?
Yes, it was tested for blood.
Okay.
It gave a chemical indication for the presence of blood.
Okay. My question, I guess, is you don't know when it was put under there, underneath the dresser.
No.
Okay. So while the shoes were wet and the jeans, you testified, were wet, the shirt wasn't?
It didn't appear to be, no.
Okay. The jeans were just recovered inside a laundry basket?
Yes.
Okay. And as far as the drawings go, you don't have any personal knowledge as to who created those drawings, do you?
I do not.
Thank you.
Any regret? Thank you.
Is this excused? All right. Thank you, ma'am. You're free to go. State, you may call your next witness.
State Call Sergeant Kurt Tannen.
Railing and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
All right, you can come on up here and have a seat in the witness stand.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead and adjust that how you like. Good morning, sir. If you would introduce yourself to the court.
My name is Kurt Hannon.
And how are you employed?
I am a sergeant with the St. John's County Sheriff's Office.
How long have you been with St. John's?
Approximately 7.5 years.
And what is your educational background?
I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana.
What's your current role at the Sheriff's Office?
I am a sergeant on patrol.
And what was your role back in May of 2021?
I was a corporal in our Major Crimes Unit.
How long had you served in Major Crimes at that point?
Excuse me. Approximately 2.5 years.
I want to direct your attention to May 9th, 2021. Were you working or on call on that date?
I was, yes.
Okay. Working or on call?
On call.
Okay. When and how do you get alerted that there's an investigation into a missing teenager in St. John's?
At approximately 2:33 p.m., I received a phone call from my supervisor in the Major Crimes Unit, Sergeant David Garnes, notifying me that there's a missing juvenile investigation, and I was asked to come and assist.
Okay. Up until approximately that point, patrol was sort of handling that investigation, but it was transitioning over to investigations. Is that fair?
Yes.
About that point? Okay. Where did you respond, and who were you briefed by?
I responded to the North Amenity Center in Durham Crossing at 7:30 North Durham Parkway. I met with Deputy Robert Maloney and spoke to him.
Okay. And did he inform you of the information he had up until that point?
Yes, he advised me of information he had gotten from speaking with the Bailey family initially and speaking with two subjects identified as Dolphus Absher, who's goes by the name of Trey, and Aiden Fucci.
And was Aiden Fucci and or Trey with law enforcement at that time?
Yes, they were detained in law enforcement vehicles.
Okay. What do you do at that point? Do you stay on scene or do you go do something else?
I was on scene for a while. I transitioned to our staging area at Veterans Park when more resources started coming in, and I eventually moved to a Northwest Field office located at 725 Floor Branch Boulevard.
Does something get brought to your attention in the early parts of this investigation in reference to Aiden Fucci's cell phone and activity on that phone?
Yes, I was advised that he was posting to social media from the backseat of the patrol car.
And what did you response to that?
I request that his phone be seized so that we could preserve any potential evidence based on that phone.
And what app or application did you learn Aiden Fucci was using to post to social media while being detained?
Snapchat.
Did you later obtain records from Snapchat confirming those posts?
Yes, ma'am.
Your Honor, without objection, the state would move in to admit states G. For the record, this is a business record certification from Snapchat and a selection of those videos to publish today in court.
Any objection?
Okay.
Without objection, that will be received as state's next numbered exhibit.
Five.
Number five. Thank you.
Permission to publish, Your Honor?
You may.
And Detective, there's a photo. Kind of describe what we have here with the four things we're going to display to the court, what each one of them is.
So the first one you see on the left is the original photo. And you can see where it's stamped there in the name of the file. The second photo on the right is just a text banner that Snapchat overlays the text banner on top of that picture. And then the last two are videos.
Okay. And I'm going to start here with the photograph and then kind of have you explain that again as we open it up. Let me open this. And so for the record, I'm publishing States 5, a photograph of, just describe what you see here.
Aiden Fucci taking a picture in the reflection of the barrier glass in between the front compartment and the rear compartment of the vehicle where passengers sit.
Okay. And how Snapchat returns the results to you, they also gave you this file. What is this state?
This is the text banner that was overlaid on top of that picture with the Snapchat post.
And what does it say for the record?
Hey guys, has anybody seen Tristan lately?
Okay. And so just so the court understands, this picture was displayed with that text over top of it.
Yes.
To the user on the Snapchat end that would see it.
Yes.
Okay. And do you know approximately when this was posted?
It would be in the timestamp. So it would be on the 9th of May at approximately 4:52 p.m.
Okay. And then I'm just going to play the next two videos that you received from Snapchat of interest.
Fun in a fucking cop car. Yep. Tristan. What's up, guys? Tristan, if you fucking walk out the damn...
When you see this in a mock map...
We're having fun in a fucking cop car.
Yep.
Tristan.
What's up, guys?
Tristan, if you fucking walk out the damn...
When you see this in a mock map...
Then I'm going to play the next one.
Cop car, guys. Tripping, dude. This in a fucking cop car, guys. Tripping, dude.
When you review the records, Snapchat indicates these file names are under memories. What is that? Does that mean it's something that the public can see, or he directly sent to like one individual?
No, that basically it's your homepage, if you will, your the snaps that you post. They're posted to your memories, and basically everybody can see those that you're friends with.
Okay. All right. So you're advised that that sort of thing is going on, ask that his phone be taken. At this time, are there detectives tasked with searching for video based on the information you had from Trey and Aiden at this point?
Yes.
Okay. What information, kind of what area of the neighborhood were they focusing on that time for video based on what you knew?
So based on the initial information that they obtained from Trey and Aiden is that Aiden and Tristan had left from Trey's house at about 1 a.m. and were walking north along Durban Parkway, and they mentioned the amenity center. So we went to the amenity center to look for video there.
Okay. And what did you learn from the amenity center video?
There were two subjects that were seen walking past the amenity center at approximately 1:24 a.m., which was consistent with the direction and time frame.
As the investigation continues on that day, when was Tristan's body alerted to see that it was discovered?
The sheriff's office received a phone call from a subject named Daniel Hart, who advised at 6:06 p.m., who advised that he had been out in a wooded area and found a deceased body at that point.
Okay. What happens with the investigation at that point, and specifically, what is your role?
At that point, it transitions into a homicide investigation, and I was designated as the case agent.
Do you go out to the crime scene at that point in the woods, or what do you do?
I did not. Crime scene technician Marilyn Butts was tasked to go out to the scene where she was located to process that scene and collect evidence, and then I was kind of gathering information and looking at what the next steps were in the investigation.
Okay. Do you proceed to write a series of... That's for various residences and places?
Yes, we began to secure several different residences to either obtain consent to search from the homeowner or to draft search warrants.
And based on the now of Tristan's, are there detectives that are dispatched to that area to search for video?
Yes.
Okay. And sort of throughout the night, where do you end up stationed, where you're drafting warrants and things like that?
I'm at the Northwest Field Office.
Okay. As information comes in from video that's being located, is that relate to you?
Yes.
Okay. At warrants and afterwards, what information of importance becomes available from surveillance in the Saddlestone Drive area?
We first got video, I believe, at approximately 7:54 p.m. from a residence at 541 Saddlestone Drive. On that video, it depicted two subjects walking east past the residence in the direction of the cul-de-sac on Saddlestone Drive. One subject appeared to be taller, and this was at the video captured them at 1:45 a.m. One subject appeared to be taller and could be seen wearing a pair of white shoes with a black Nike swoosh. The next video was at 3:27 a.m., and there was only one subject that was seen walking west away from the cul-de-sac.
That same subject that was previously wearing shoes?
Yes. And at 3:27, it was appeared to be the taller subject who was previously wearing the shoes. Now the subject appeared to be carrying the shoes in his hand.
Okay. And later that night, approximately an hour later, did detectives locate more video from Saddlestone that was helpful?
Yes. We located video at 586 Saddlestone Drive, which for reference is in the direction of the cul-de-sac from the first residence, 541, On this video, there were two subjects observed walking east towards the cul-de-sac at 1:46 a.m., and they appeared to be the same two subjects. And then the next video shows one subject appearing to be the taller subject from the first video as well. This subject was running west away from the cul-de-sac at approximately 3:27 a.m., and you can see that in the video that he was carrying something in his hands.
Okay. You're finding that information out. Warrants are being executed. Where was the defendant ultimately brought and put at your agency?
He was transported to our Central Investigations Division and placed in an audio and video recorded room, and his parents were allowed to be in there with him.
Was your agency able to, did you attempt, and were you able to get into Aiden Fucci's phone that night?
We obtained a search warrant to do a forensic download of his phone. However, Detective Causey, who was our digital forensics detective at that point in time, advised that due to the technical constraints of the phone, we weren't able to actually get a download from it. So we weren't able to get a download that night.
That night, okay. And the court has heard about the processing of 724 Castledale and the items of evidence that were removed from that room. You were advised of those items, the shoes,
yeah.
Sure, go ahead and just describe what you were made aware of from.
I was advised there was a buck knife sheath that was empty, did not have a knife with it. There was a pair of white Nike tennis shoes with the black swoosh that were wet that were located behind a dresser in the closet that tested positive the presence of blood. There's a white t-shirt that tested positive the presence of blood. There was a pair of wet jeans that we obtained from the laundry hamper. And there was the drain trap from the bathroom adjacent to Aiden Fucci's bedroom. The drain trap tested positive the presence of blood. And we also collected the DVR video surveillance system from the home.
Okay. Detectives and investigators that were in that Castledale home that night noticed what about surveillance about that home?
That there were video cameras on both the outside and the inside of the home.
Okay. Did you also draft a search warrant that night to collect evidence from the body of Aiden Fucci, collect
yes.
a buccal swab?
Yes.
Photograph him, things like that?
Major case friends, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did your agency make a decision about an arrest of Aiden Fucci in the early morning hours of the 10th?
Yes, ma'am. We arrested him and charged him with second-degree murder at approximately 3:30 a.m.
Okay. I want to move to the next morning, May 10th. What do you do? I guess it was 3:30 in the morning already, but business hours the next morning, what are you doing?
I attended autopsy, which began at approximately 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Investigation-wise, what sort of two things did you walk away from that autopsy and knowing and learning?
We learned that there were 114 stab wounds and that there was a metal fragment that was located with an x-ray that was located in Tristan's scalp.
Okay. Effort to locate a possible murder case, a sharp force weapon, and what efforts were made?
Yes. Approximately noon, our field force teams and our dive teams deployed to the wooded area that Tristan was located in attempts to locate items of evidence. Our field force team searched the wooded area, and our dive team searched two ponds in that area.
Okay. Were you present for all or part of that search effort?
Yes. After I attended autopsy, after that concluded, I joined the search efforts that were in progress still.
And was that search effort successful in covering evidence?
It was. At approximately 6:30 p.m., a dive team member located a folding buck brand knife in the pond. The knife appeared to have the tip of the knife was bent, and the very edge of it was broken or fractured off.
Were you present when that knife was recovered?
I was.
Any objections? Without objection, state would move in states E and permission to publish.
No objection.
No objection, Your Honor.
That would be received as states number 6. Thank you.
6A is just an aerial of the general area that was searched by the dive team. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And states 6B and C show that area of the retention pond closest to where Tristan's body was located. If you kind of could just describe who's seen in this video and anything of note in this video, or photograph, excuse me.
So you're looking at the, from the first photo from A, you're looking at the larger of the ponds. This is looking in more of a southern direction. If you see the house on the right, that's the where the cul-de-sac of Saddlestone Drive is. So the diver that's in the water is Deputy Todd Willis at the Sheriff's Office, a member of the dive team.
Okay. You're okay. Is he in the proximate area, or does he have marked where he recovers the knife?
Yes.
And if you could describe it and or... can you step down, Your Honor?
Go ahead.
Hard to see.
So this is Deputy DeLissa, and I believe the marker for the knife is approximately right there.
Brought up and collected was photo documented by another crime scene technician on scene, Technician Volmar. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And 6D, is that a... photograph of that knife?
Yes, ma'am.
6E. And 6F. What does 6F show, that angle?
It shows the top of the blade and that the blade was bent.
And then I think in 6D, you can notice that the tip of that knife is broken off. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what you were referring to?
Yes, ma'am.
On May 11th, moving forward in the investigation, was anything of evidentiary value learned on that date in relation to video from the Fuji residence?
Yes. Detective Causey had been reviewing video from the DVR system we collected during a search warrant and located video that shows Aiden coming to the residence at approximately 3:32 a.m. In the video, you can see that he's carrying his shoes with his hands. The shoes that he was carrying were a pair of white Nike shoes with black swoosh. So he enters into his residence. He goes upstairs to his bedroom, comes out of his bedroom wearing what appears to be a bathrobe and goes into the adjacent bathroom for a short period of time. And then after he's in the bathroom for a little while, he comes out and goes back to his bedroom.
Okay. And... throughout this investigation and towards the end, as your agency's collecting all the video surveillance, did you and others work on, and was a presentation worked on for court purposes to show a timeline of Aiden's movements that day?
Yes, ma'am.
And as your agency was collecting video, was the times being verified and documented if any, there was any discrepancy in the video times?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Without objection, at this time, the state would introduce states F and permission to publish.
What is states F?
I'm sorry. States F is a video surveillance presentation.
Any objection?
No objection.
That'll be received as states exhibit number 7.
Okay, and just so the court is aware, just kind of overall describe in this presentation what these map slides show and the information.
So this is an overview of the northern part of the Durbin Crossing neighborhood, just to orient you. The yellow road along your right-hand side there is St. John's Parkway, or 20 County Road 2209. The road that kind of comes to the south of that, the main road, is Longleaf Pine Parkway. And then the road kind of going up to the middle of all of that is North Durbin Parkway. Looking at going from south to north, you see the green arrow is the Absher residence at 145 Telford Drive. That's where Trey lives. The Bailey residence is there in yellow. The Fuji residence at 724 Castle Mill Court is there top in yellow. And then where Tristan is located is there in red at the end of Saddleston Drive.
Okay. And in the top right of the map, there's information on the video that plays right after the map, time and location. Is that right?
Yes.
And then on the aerial as well, you see a little blinking green camera. Is that the location of the video that would play after this?
Yes.
Okay. And so what time were you guys actually able to go back and sort of start tracking Mr. Fucci's movements that day?
So we picked up his movements at approximately 5:17 p.m. on the afternoon of May 8th, which would have been Saturday.
Okay. And the video that we're about to see is from what location?
It's from 103 Wellwood Avenue, and it depicts Aiden traveling to the Absher residence.
Okay. And the next video is going to be at what time and what location?
It's at 6:25 p.m. And this is at, the video is actually from 144 Telford Drive, which is across the street from the Absher residence.
Okay. And who is determined to be depicted in this video?
It would be Aiden and Trey.
The next video we're going to show, the time, same location, what's the time, and then who do we see?
At 6:31 p.m., it's Aiden and Trey, and Zofie responds to Trey's residence as well.
And who did you determine through the investigation that Zofie was in relation to Aiden Fucci?
Zofie was Aiden Fucci's girlfriend.
Okay.
That's going to be Zofie coming on the skateboard towards the house.
Next video, same location, what time?
At 6:43 p.m.
And what does it depict?
It depicts Aiden and Zofie leaving Trey's residence.
Now we've moved. You see the camera, the blinking camera's actually gone a little south of the Absher residence down there. What location is this?
That's at 100 Woodcross Drive. That is that's Zofie's residence.
Okay. And they arrive there approximately 6:50?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then just 1 minute later, same residence?
Yes.
Different camera?
Yes.
And what did you note of relevance in this video, if anything?
Starting from the bottom to top of Aiden, you can see he's wearing white Nike shoes with a black Nike swoosh. He's wearing blue jeans and a white t-shirt.
And at 8:08 p.m., what does this next video show?
It's again at Woodcross Drive, and it shows Aiden leaving Zofie's residence. You can see he's still wearing blue jeans and white Nike shoes.
Okay, and this time he has a hoodie on over his clothes. And Zofie doesn't leave that time. Aiden leaves by himself, is that right?
Correct.
Is that consistent with information you obtained from her?
Yes.
And so it's now 8:14. What do we see here?
We're back out at 144 Telford Drive across the street from Trey's residence, and it shows Aiden coming back to Trey's house.
And this is just him ringing the, this next video is him ringing the doorbell, is that right?
Yes.
You see that he has the hoodie on. Do you still see a white shirt underneath?
I do. He's also still wearing blue jeans. And in the beginning of the video, you can see he's still wearing white Nike shoes.
Okay. And 9:27 is the next time video's captured, and we're still at the Apsher residence. Is that right?
Yes.
Basically, what does this video depict?
It's showing Trey and Aiden in the driveway skateboarding.
Those actions consistent with what Trey kind of described that they did that night, hanging out before Tristan came over?
Yes.
Now this next video, what is this?
So this is on 32 Cloister Vane Drive. You can see it's east from the Bailey residence. And it depicts a subject. We learned that Tristan had left the house at approximately midnight-ish, and this kind of shows that there's a subject that's walking east away from the residence approximately the time frame that we believe she left the house.
Okay, and then we see the green camera has now moved to Telford Drive. What's the actual time on?
This is at 12:35 a.m. And it's a subject who we believe to be Tristan walking on Telford Drive towards Apsher's residence.
And now the video is going to depict a different time, but that was verified by law enforcement. The accurate time is 12:35. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And then from 12:35, the next video, same location, correct? Tell
yes.
us the time and what do you see in this video?
This is now 1:18 a.m. and this is the morning of the 9th at 110 Telford Drive, and it shows two subjects, I believe to be Tristan and Aiden, walking north on Telford Drive away from Trey's residence.
And this was actually one of the first videos your agency located. You referenced earlier the amenity center video, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. There were at 1:24 a.m. Was when we observed the two subjects walking north past the amenity center.
Okay. At the time, obviously, the quality of this video is not great in and of itself, right?
Correct.
But having now all of the video, you've gone back and pieced it all together.
Yes, the travel time and the walking distance is all consistent.
And where are we going to see them come from in the video?
You're going to see them coming from the left, top left part of the screen to the top right part of the screen. This video shows the entrance to the amenity center with a little roundabout there. And that roundabout is it's off of North Urban Parkway, so they're traveling north.
You still can kind of see the white shoes there if you're watching for those, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and next, 1:26 a.m., what intersection is this?
This is still along North Urban Parkway, and this is at the intersection of Leith Hall Drive, and it shows two subjects walking north along North Urban Parkway still, and it's consistent with the direction of time frame.
Okay, and the Leith Hall Drive was a location that Deputy Maloney actually got some information about from Fucci about an interaction he claims happened about this location, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And with what the camera is able to capture here, you don't see any sort of altercation between these two at this location?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And now we've gone up towards the north part of the neighborhood. It's 143. And are these some of those Saddlestone videos that you referenced earlier that became important?
This was one of other videos along Saddlestone Drive that we located, yes.
Right.
And so this is at 1:43 a.m. And it's going to show the two subjects walking from top left to the top right, and they're traveling in a direction east towards the cul-de-sac of Saddlestone.
And Detective, Sergeant, excuse me, your agency and you, you've reviewed so much video in this case. Do you ever see anyone else with who we now know is Aiden, Pucci, and Tristan walking in that neighborhood?
No.
With them, meaning no third party
correct.
Is seen once they leave Trey's house to the end of the cul-de-sac, correct?
Correct. There's only two subjects walking.
And so this next one is at what address?
This is at 541 Saddlestone. This is one of the videos that I mentioned earlier. And again, it shows two subjects, Aiden and Tristan, walking east on Saddlestone Drive towards the cul-de-sac.
And now we're at 586.
Yes.
Same direction of travel, however, is this video taken from the opposite side of the street?
Yes.
Okay. So they're going to be coming from which direction?
From right to left.
Right to left, but it's still headed?
In east towards the cul-de-sac.
Towards the end of the cul-de-sac. Okay. Is this the last known video of Tristan that we have?
Yes.
So that time was determined accurate at 1:45 a.m. What is the next time and same video, same location, what's the next time we see something?
It's 3:22 a.m. This now we're going to be still at the same residence from the last one, 586 Saddlestone Drive. And we're going to see one subject who's alone and running west away from the cul-de-sac. You can see that he's carrying something in his hands.
And now we're back to that.
Now we're working backwards away from the cul-de-sac, and so now we're back at 541 Saddlestone Drive, and we're going to see one subject, Aiden, walking west away from the cul-de-sac.
What do you note of importance in this video?
You see he's not wearing shoes, but he's carrying something white in his hands.
And now we're back at 517 Saddlestone, approximately what time?
This is at 3:29 a.m. And again, you can see that he's not wearing shoes, but he's carrying what appears to be white shoes in his hands.
Okay, and now we are at 724 Castledale Court. That is his residence, correct?
Yes. So Castledale Court intersects with Saddlestone Drive over towards your right on this video, and you can see him walking up to his house.
Then approximately 3:31, another view.
And here you can clearly see the white Nike shoes with the black Nike swoosh.
Thank you.
So now we're, like I said from earlier, the video surveillance system had video both inside and outside. So now we're seeing video of him coming in the house.
Where is he headed?
So the stairwell there you see on the left or part of the screen, it's actually, there's two different stairwells. If you go up those stairs, there's a small landing and it connects to a second set of stairs that goes down towards the kitchen area. And then at the landing, there's a set of stairs that go up towards the second floor.
So he was sort of walking the kitchen way and would have been able to access the stairs from the backside. Is that right? Okay. And then the next part of this, just so the court can orient himself, when a video pops up, showing up the stairs, there's a big room to the left.
Yes.
Describe what that is and then what's beyond that room.
Yep. So the big room to the left is more like a child's play area. And there you can see the landing and the second set of stairs there on the right. So he's walking past that. The light you see in the top right corner is from the bathroom that's adjacent to where his bedroom is. And you can see him going into his bedroom. And again, he's still carrying those white shoes.
That's approximately 3:32?
Yes, ma'am.
And then when do we see him again? What time?
3:46. This is when he comes out of his bedroom. Looks like he's wearing a bathrobe and goes into the adjacent bathroom.
And from 3:46, when do we see him exit the bathroom?
At 4:17. This is when he comes out of the bathroom and goes back into his bedroom.
All right. Sergeant, I want to turn your attention to May 12th in the investigation, and at that time, were you able to determine, other than Trey, maybe who his next closest friend or the girlfriend, I believe you mentioned?
Yes, so we identified that Trey was his best friend and that Sophie was his girlfriend.
Okay. Did you learn anything from those individuals where they had knowledge that Aiden Fucci liked knives and things like that?
Yes, they both described him having a kind of a fascination with knives, that whenever he wasn't in school, he would carry knives, and that he would constantly take them out, display them, show them off, talk about them, those sorts of things.
Did they identify that he had two favorites?
Yes, they both stated that he had two knives in particular he liked, and he had named them. One was Picker, and one was named Poker.
And the knife that you were present that was recovered from the retention pond, those same photos that we saw here in court, were Trey and Zofie shown those photos to see if that was one of the knives they were aware of?
Yes, and Trey and Zofie both identified that knife as the knife that Aiden named Poker.
Was your agency eventually able to get into Aiden Fucci's cell phone and get a download from that?
Yes, I think it was about June 29th. Detective Gauzy advised that the technical requirements allowed us to conduct a download, so we drafted an amended search warrant and submitted that for forensic download of his phone.
Okay. And when you're reviewing his forensic download, and specifically in reference to the timeline you're trying to put together that night and contact between Fucci, Aiden Fucci, and Tristan, what sort of things did you find?
So looking at the evening of May 8th, it was about 10:40 p.m., we found a message that Tristan had sent to Aiden through Snapchat. That was a message that it wasn't sent just to him, it was sent to a lot of different people. It was some of her contacts. so that was the first message that we saw that night. The next time mark in his phone, I believe it was approximately midnight, 24 hours. So 12:24 a.m. the morning of the 9th, when Aiden's phone shows that a contact for Tristan was created in his phone. And then at 12:25, there's a phone call followed by a FaceTime call that lasts for approximately 6 minutes from Aiden to Tristan. And at 12:36 a.m., there's a phone or a FaceTime call from Tristan to Aiden.
Okay. And is that sort of consistent with her leaving the house and eventually that between 12-ish and 12:30 when she arrives at the accident?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And is there any activity by him on his phone after about 1 a.m. until what time?
So the next activity after that FaceTime call, interaction between he and or Aiden's phone and Tristan, the next activity on that phone is at 1:11 a.m. of May 9th, and that is a phone call that went from Aiden to Trey, which went unanswered. What that tells us is that they weren't together at that point in time, and it's consistent with information that Aiden and Tristan left at approximately 1:10 a.m. from Trey's house.
Is there any activity on his cell phone, user-generated activity on his cell phone from that time until what time the next day?
Approximately 9:27 a.m.
Did you have an opportunity in your investigation to review the recording of Aiden and his parents that occurred in an interview room at your agency?
I did, yes.
And at least at the time, that was that night, right? What of importance did you take away from that or other detectives were reporting to you that Aiden talked about in that video?
So one of the statements made during that video is, again, Aiden was in the room with his parents and they were having conversations. And Aiden's mom asked him if he was wearing jeans. And Aiden initially said yes. And then his mother told him that she thought he was wearing khakis. And asked if he was wearing khakis instead. The jeans were important because, later after reviewing all the video and seeing the jeans in the video from the daytime, the nighttime it gets kind of harder to see it, but the daytime shows he's wearing the jeans, and we did locate wet jeans in his bedroom as well.
That also tested positive for blood, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Your Honor, I don't have any further questions of this witness at this time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So part of how you excluded Trey from the investigation was based on the fact that Aiden made a phone call to him at 1:11 that morning?
Not based on that, solely.
Not solely, okay. But that was part of your decision making there?
More or less. Maybe not at that time specifically, but...
And just to kind of pick up where the state left off, when you finally got to download the material on Mr. Fucci's phone around June 29th, none of the Snapchat had been deleted, correct?
I don't know. We use programs to look and review downloads, and I can only see what I can see, basically. So I'm not a technical expert, but those were what I found to be, I guess, that was what I could find.
So there's no evidence. Is it true that there was no evidence that he made any efforts to delete material from his phone?
But I could answer that.
You can't answer that. And I would include in that any FaceTiming. Can you answer that question, or is that outside your expertise?
I don't think you can delete a FaceTime call record from your phone.
Okay. Okay. May 10th, you attended the autopsy. And just to be clear, and I apologize, it's kind of gruesome to talk about, but Ms. Bailey's hands were attached, correct?
Her hands were attached to her body?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Body wasn't burned, anything like that, right?
I don't believe it was burned.
When you were part of the recovery team that found the knife, that knife was recovered in the pond closest to where the body was found, correct?
I mean, I wouldn't say it was in the larger pond closer to, yes.
Thank you. And there, we saw from the aerials that there's several ponds in that area.
There were two.
Okay. And when you recovered the knife wasn't disassembled?
No.
It was recovered in one whole piece?
Yes, it was unfolded just as you saw in the pictures.
The video from the Fucci residence shows him taking a shower. There's no other video of him doing anything else in that?
There were no cameras in the bedroom, no.
Okay. Or outside of the house, we've seen all the video of him outside of the
house. Yes, what we saw in the video was what.
Those are all the questions I have, thank you, Judge.
All right, you're correct.
Just one question, Your Honor. In the review of all of the video surveillance from the various streets that you had in this case, was Trey Doffus Apsher ever seen, clearly not with them, we already established that, was he ever seen leaving his house, walking alone, anything like that?
No.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
All right.
May this witness be excused? All right, sir, you're free to go. Thank you. It is 10:47. It's a good time for a break. Let's take a recess for 15 minutes.
Fourth recess.
That's wrapping up segment one of the sentencing of Aidan Fucci. There is much more to come on the podcast. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss a minute of it. We'll be playing it for you over the next handful of days in sequential order. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.